When he touched me, and I will never be the same. Jesus came along and he touched me, and I will never be the same. He touched me by his mighty power, glory to his majesty.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening, and we give you a warm welcome in their service tonight in the name of the Lord. And it was really so good to see how many was out this morning. We thank the Lord. And you know, God's word will not return void, but the word of God can speak on, and we just pray that it will speak on the hearts. Praise God. I want this evening to continue from last week, where I talked about 52 truths that Luther had at the time of the Reformation, and many of them truths were lost, but this is truths that they had concerning salvation. And I know we know most of these things, but it's just to get it on record, it'll be on recording, and it's good to know it and good to have it. And I just want to take my time tonight and share with you, and I won't hold you as long. Let's just read a verse from John chapter 3, verse 7. Very well-known portion of Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 7, this evening, praise God. And continue to pray for Brother Mark. And we do thank the Lord so much, as a Brother Gary has said, for Brother John, how the Lord's definitely touched him. And John is so appreciative. He sent me a message as well today, and thanking everyone for the prayers in this fellowship and also around the world, because there's people praying in Australia, New Zealand, England, and there's a wee prayer group in Wernstown as well, and they're praying, and there's many others as well praying, and different people, and we appreciate that. The more prayers, the better. Amen. Old WSLP Nickerson used to say, when the weakest of the weak get on their knees, the devil trembles. And it's so true, praise God. Let's read. Maybe we can stand while we read one verse of Scripture tonight. John 3, verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's just bow our heads again tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. So many needs tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that name tonight, that there's power and authority in that name. And we pray that every spirit will be subject this evening to the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you'll give us liberty in this house. And I pray, Lord, for the hands that's raised, you know, every single need. I'm asking you to meet every need of each one. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, we thank you for how you've touched Brother John. We pray you continue to touch him, continue to bless him, continue to strengthen him, and move in his whole family circle, all those that's not saved. We claim them to be saved. And may this even speak to them. In Jesus' precious name, we ask for every soul that was in this house this morning. We pray, Lord, that your word will penetrate to the heart and that there'll be fruit in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'll just have your way. I take the Holy Spirit now to help me. And I thank you that you will. I just pray you'll have your way in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Just maybe see that. Don't forget as well a prayer and Bible study Thursday nights now, because Wednesday nights there's people coming in the hall, but Thursday night there's nobody coming in. It mightn't suit everybody, but it's a better night. We're not being disturbed, and we've started into the book of Samuel, and there's so many good things in it, and I believe the Lord's challenging me as well in it, the different thoughts. So pray first for, as we look at that, praise God. 52 tremendous facts about salvation. Somebody says, I didn't know there's so many. There's a lot. I'm just picking. There's 52 which they held till, which they believed, which a lot of churches today don't use any of these great truths. And I think last week I finished on 11 or 12, but we'll start on the 12th one tonight. We know we're born again when we have received Jesus Christ. Now that might sound as a very simple thing. We know we're born again when we've received Jesus Christ. And Jesus' own words was, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The Lord Jesus Christ was the first one to preach the new birth. And people mock that. Are you one of these born again boys? They'll say to you, and you believe in that born again stuff? Yes, absolutely. And the brethren weren't the first ones to start it. Jesus was. And he says in John 1 verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And we are born again of the Spirit of God, and we receive Jesus Christ. Now there's a lot of people, and sadly they think they're going to go to heaven because they're good. But the Lord Jesus says there's none good, no, not one. And if you were to take the basic 10 commandments and take them to any person, they'd fail. Every man would fail somewhere, covet the neighbor, steal, or seven. All of us in our lives at one point would have broke the commandments. So we're failures. But Jesus Christ, we saw this morning, took our place. Now this born again is so simple, and it's so true. And you know, William Branham, a great prophet of God, said people are not getting to Christ. They're joining movements, they're joining organizations. There's people like to have the numbers. A million more he used to talk about in 44. But it's coming to Christ is the only way to be saved. And that's what we need tonight. We need men and women that will come to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 13, we must believe the powerful message of the gospel that it saves. And it is the message of the gospel that it saves. Isn't it a real shame that people would say, he only preaches the gospel? Now, well, what are they preaching? Because Paul the Apostle says that I would know nothing else amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. Paul said that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So these early believers believed in preaching the gospel to save. And I believe there's no other way to get people saved. We must preach the gospel. And men are trying new ways and new ideas and new things, but if it's not the original way, it won't work. But the preaching of the gospel is God's original way to save men and women. And God's promised when we preach the gospel, he's confirmed it even to us the same, and signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word of God. Romans 1 and 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for there is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and then also to the Greek." Number 14, we believe on the name of Jesus Christ because of the records of the gospel. That's why we believe it. We believe it because of the records of the gospel. That's why the devil for years has tried to dismiss the Bible, hasn't it? People have argued the Bible. People have tried to dismiss the Word of God. But we believe the Word of God. And we believe the record that we have is because of the gospel. This is the record we have. It's the gospels that the disciples of Christ here give us, these gospels. Now we know it was God that done it, but these men were used of God, and this word of God was written. And John 20 verse 31 says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that ye might believe that ye might have eternal life through his name." See, this eternal life is only through his name. And I know we know these things, but I want to really emphasize them, because I think there's people think they're getting saved without them. Now, I've heard good men say you can't be saved outside of the message. Now, I'm telling you tonight, in my opinion, I don't believe that. And I don't believe it because there's no Bible for it. You're saved through the name of Jesus Christ. And the real message is preaching Jesus Christ. And William Branham himself said, "I don't point you to me, I point you to Jesus Christ." How could he point you to himself? Sure, what good would it do? He's no name to save. I've no name to save you. There's no man has a name to save you. But he has been given a name that's far above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, the one true mediator between God and man, we can be saved. Number 15, we simply call on Jesus' name and we're saved. See, people want to add to it, but the Bible doesn't say to add to it. The Bible says in Romans 10, 13, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we're saved by calling on the name of the Lord. That's how we're saved. Now, I'll tell you that's simple, but it's actually absolutely the truth. And I can remember in 1984, in a yellow Mercedes car, bowing in the front seat. I was under conviction. I'd been attending a wee brethren mission, and I was under conviction, and that was the first time, consciously, knowingly, that I called on the Lord to be saved. And I said to the fella after I prayed in his car, I said, "I've got it." And I was saved. Now, I'd done things after that I shouldn't have done, but I was still saved. Because you see, once you're saved, you're always saved. But the Lord brought me back. The Lord delivered me. The Lord set me free. And there's many a person saved when they're young and they get away from it. They don't need to get saved again. They need to get restored. They are saved. Because you can't be saved twice. You only can be saved once. Now you could fall away. You could backslide. You could get so far away. But Dad would have said, "You know, you never knew he was saved for years. He was so far away from it." But yet he was saved. And the Lord did bring him back. Number 16, we must recognize that Jesus is the only way to God. There's no other way to God. We cannot get to God any other way, only through the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. The Pope in Rome is not the way, I'm sorry. The priest round the corner here is not the way, I'm sorry. The church or church building's not the way. There's only one way. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these Reformation preachers preached. John 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You cannot come to God if you don't come through Jesus Christ. You cannot come to God through the Virgin Mary. She is not the way to God. She never was, never will be, and never can be. Because Jesus Christ is the only way. And because he's the only way, there's no other one or way can replace him. He remains the only way to God. And I said this morning, God doesn't have a mother. He's without outset. He's without descent. He's without beginning. He's without ending. Before he was even known as God, he was a self-existent one. God has no mother. And there's many tonight and around this country especially, they talk about Holy Mary, the mother of God. But I'm sorry, she's not God's mother. She was a vessel God used when God made a tabernacle. And God came to that temple, and God in fullness dwelt in that temple, and he was God in flesh, because God was in him. But Mary was never the mother of God. We don't need Mary to intercede for us. Jesus does that. We don't need Mary to pray for us. There's people tonight believe in the 14 stations of the cross. I'm sure you've heard of it. 14 stations of the cross. They claim that the Virgin Mary knelt on 14 different stations on the way to Calvary to pray that Jesus would make it the whole way. But I want to tell you tonight that I don't believe that tonight. I believe that Jesus Christ set his face as a flint, according to my Bible, to go up to Jerusalem, to go to Calvary. He was appointed to the cross. And thank God he went the whole way to the cross. And he says, no man has power to take my life from me, but I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to lift it again. And thank God he did. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Number 17, we know that this is one, the one and only one for salvation, no other. The one and the one and only, there's no other. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I don't care what a movement claims they've moved forward in Revelation. I don't care what they claim, but I'm going to tell you this evening, brothers and sisters, it's Antichrist. Do you realize that? It's no worse or it's no less of a blasphemy than what Rome believes. That's the truth. Because if you place any man, no matter how good he is, in place of your salvation over Jesus Christ, that is Antichrist. Because anti-word's Antichrist. And it is anti-word, therefore it is Antichrist. So there's another spirit behind it. And it's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will direct you to the truth. And there's people tonight, and they say, I came to the message. Now I believe that God sent a message, and I believe God sent a prophet. I believe that with all my heart. But he never sent them to save me. He sent Jesus Christ to do that. He couldn't send him to save me. The only one who was sent to save me was a man called Jesus. And there's nowhere for I'm called to preach any prophet or any man above the Lord Jesus Christ. I am called, as Paul said, to preach Christ and him crucified. And I know when Philip went down to the city of Samaria, he preached Christ unto them. Isn't it a sad day when you preach Christ? They think you have nothing, but you have everything. Because he is everything. Hallelujah. Number 18, we put forth faith in Christ alone as our own and personal Savior. We put forth faith in Christ alone. We don't put forth a message that you must have to get Christ. We put forth faith in Christ alone. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Number 19. We believe that the Lord comes into our life. Do you believe that tonight? The Lord comes into your life. 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from amongst them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be a son and a daughter, saith the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful this evening? That it's through grace we're saved. Believing on the Lord comes life. Number 20 says, we do not trust in any good works of self-righteousness to be saved. But there is people that are doing that tonight. They're trusting in good works. They think if they do nobody any harm, they're going to get to heaven. But they're falling short. They're falling short. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, And all our righteousness is filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Every single man and every single woman needs to be saved, they need to be born again. That's the words of Jesus Christ. Their own self-righteousness can't do it. Now there's a new doctrine going around a lot of the message churches, and they claim they can redeem themselves. Well, I would puff at that. And God puffs at it because it's Antichrist. And that's the truth. There's no way you or me could save ourselves. I was not in any condition to save nobody, never mind myself. I needed the Lord. And you were in no condition to save nobody, never mind yourself. You needed the Lord. And if you don't see that, you're still lost. I'll tell you that now. That's a fact. And anybody that thinks they can save themselves are not born again, in my opinion. Because if they think they can save themselves, they're telling me and they're telling you that didn't need Jesus. But I'm telling you tonight that I needed the Lord. And you're acknowledging tonight, did you know you needed the Lord Jesus to be saved? And thank God he's available. Ephesians 2 and 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Number 21, we're saved only by God's mercy. That's the only thing saves us, is God's mercy. Many of us were in deep pits. Deep pits. Many of us were in deep bondages. We were away from God with no thought of God. It was only the mercy of God that turned us. It's only the mercy of God that changed us. Many of us, myself tonight, friends that I used to know, they're dead, they're gone, they were shot. They're not here. Many people, people's no longer here. They're not on this planet, they're gone. But God, rich in mercy, chose you and chose me. Titus 3, verse 5 and 7. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy have saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that been justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but let me tell you this tonight. The Holy Spirit already moves on you when you get saved. And you cannot be saved if the Holy Spirit doesn't move on you. Because the Bible says, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. And it's the Holy Spirit that draws you. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives you the revelation who Jesus Christ is. And you call on his name and you're saved. Number 22, we know that Christ's death justifies us before a holy God. Nothing we've done, but it's the death of Christ. What he done for us on the cross, that's the thing that justifies us. We acknowledge that. It's his righteousness we're taking because we have none of our own. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Did I tell you Martin Luther knew all about this, didn't he? You know, if you have never watched the film about Martin Luther, you should watch it. A monk of the Augustine order. A man that was devout. A man that stripped himself and lay on a cold naked floor to try and get closer to God. A man that beat his own body to try and bring it into subjection because he was committing sins and he couldn't overcome them in his own strength. And he tried to beat it out of himself. You can't do it. If you're doing someone and you have no willpower against it, you'll not do it your own self. You need God. You need the power of God to come in. You need the Holy Spirit to move on you. And the Holy Spirit moved on Luther and it moved on him through the Word of God. Because the Word of God's not a dead letter. It's a living, vital organ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. You see, there's no Word of God, as I often say, void of power. Every Word of God's powerful. If I only came here tonight and done nothing but quote you the Scripture, there's power in it. Because it's God's Word. And God, you just need the breath of God to breathe in that Scripture. And it'll produce life. Number 23. We know his blood remits, removes, eradicates, dissolves from punishment our sins forever. And that's some statement what they believe. Dissolves, eradicates, removes from the mind and the memory of God our sin forever. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ is. Matthew 26, 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Nothing else can remove sin, only the blood of Jesus. Number 24, we know we're cleansed from all sin. Not just some sin, all sin. Revelation 1 and 5 tells us, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now I want to ask the people that can redeem themselves this question. And if many of them's listening in to me tonight, and some of them do listen in to me sometimes just to give me a wee ridicule. But the Lord bless you, brother or sister, every hour. I've nothing against you. I love you in the Lord. But I want to ask you a question for them that listens in. I want you to tell me, when you redeemed your own self, what blood did you use to get cleansed with? Because your own blood is defiled. And I can prove it from the book of Genesis, because of original sin, it's in the blood. And the blood streams defiled right from the start. And that's why there had to be a superior bloodstream come. A pure bloodstream. And we know that a prophet of God, sent from God, said that Jesus' blood wasn't Jewish blood or Gentile blood. It was God's blood. Because God created it. And the blood of God was in him. And it's supernatural blood. And as soon as the blood cell broke on the cross, the life of the blood was released. And that life's the Holy Ghost. And that life comes back in every true believer, according to Romans. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead comes in you. But you can't get the life till you get the blood. Don't reverse it. It had to be a Calvary before there could be a Pentecost. And people say, if we bypass the cross, then you're not saved. You cannot bypass the cross and say you're saved. You must come through the cross to be saved. You can't bypass it. Aren't you glad tonight you're depending on the blood of Jesus? Colossians 1:4, since we heard of your faith in Christ and the love which ye have of all the saints. And he goes on to say, but don't cease to give thanks for you. Aren't you glad you're saved? Number 25, we know our sins are put away and forgotten forever. Not just washed away, put away, forgotten forever. So, you know, many times the devil could bring something back to you and condemn you, but the word of God says they're forgotten forever. The sins of your youth are gone. Excuse me. John 1:29. The next day John saith Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I'll tell you, I thank God for the Lamb of God. Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us. I'll tell you, as far as the east is from the west. Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You know what that does, brother and sister, this evening? That means when you kneel down to pray and the devil tittles in your ear, what you done or what you didn't do, you can turn him over here to this sweet verse in Hebrews. Thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why? Because they're washed away in the sea of God's forgetfulness. They say Martin Luther was in his office studying, and the devil appeared to him. And he gave him a massive list. And he says, Luther, these are your sins. And Luther says to him, is that them all, Satan? And he said, it's near enough them all. And he took it with the quill from off the desk and he wrote over it, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. And the devil fled. I tell you, that's one thing. And Revelation tells us that. That they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If the enemy comes to you this week to give you a hard time, tell him about the blood. Remind him. What am I going to remind him, brother? You're going to do what the psalmist tells you to do. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Tell him you're redeemed. Tell him the word of God says it. It says you're redeemed. Say so. Amen. We know our sins are paid for. 26, by Christ's death, 1 Peter 2:24, his own self bear our sins, and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, wounds, we're healed. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. And I'm going to go further than maybe what they didn't go. Not only did he pay for our sins, but he paid for our healing on the cross. The stripes of Jesus Christ paid for our salvation, and they paid for our healing on the cross. And we can know him as a Savior, and we can know him as a healer, and we can know him as a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and we're going to know him as a coming King. He's coming again. Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. His chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, his wounds, we are healed. Number 27, with our sin punishment removed or obliterated, we know they can never ever condemn us no more because they're removed. So when it's brought up to condemn us, it can't. It's impossible. It can't condemn us. Romans 8 and 1, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walked in after the Spirit, but after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It can't condemn us. Now many times we let it. We listen to that voice. We're all guilty, I'm sure. Many times we let it, but it can't do it. Because the Lord stood for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 10, verse 18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There's nothing more you have to do. There's no ladder to climb to get you any closer to see can you get you more cleaner. The blood cleanses you from all sin. Let me read you Romans 8. And I'll not be long tonight. Romans 8, verse 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God tonight for the love of God. 28. We know when we accept Jesus Christ, we receive his life. His life. Now you know before you accepted Jesus Christ, there's things you couldn't stop. They controlled you. I can talk for myself. That's my experience. I was domineered and dominated by the devil. But when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, he broke that power so that I didn't have to be domineered and dominated no more by the devil. And things that I couldn't stop, they stopped. And many a time I looked around and I thought, I'd never done that. And it had no power over me no more. Because I received a life that was powerfuler and greater than my life. That was his life. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth my word, and believeth in him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's where the life comes from, Christ. Now think of that for a moment. That's real simple, isn't it? But yet withal, there's people today and they're going without it. They don't have him. They have an organization. They have a lodge. They have many things they belong to. They claim to. They even claim they're Christian. But Christ's not in them. They're not Christian. You cannot be a Christian if Christ's not in you. Because to be a real Christian, you have to have Christ. It's Christ in you makes you the Christian. Christ in you. And we're real Christians. People say, are you this or that? We might not agree with some of the phrases, but we will agree we're Christians. Because Christ's in us. And we're proud of it. We're proud to be Christians. We're not ashamed to be Christians. Now, number 29, we know Satan will accuse us. Revelation 12:10, I've mentioned it. And you could look at Job 1, verse 6 to 12, and see how he accused Job. And how he condemned Job. And he told God, if you put forth your hand and all, he cursed you to the face. And God permitted Satan to trouble Job. But at the end of the day, Job never failed. And he withheld his integrity to the end. And the Lord restored him. The Lord restored him. Number 30, we should not be ignorant of Satan's works, lest the enemy would get advantage of us. We need to know our enemy. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There's a lot of things there's no point us doing. Now, me and Jordy and Brother Gary here, we could go after the service tonight and go down to the local bar and have a few pints. But I've no desire to do that. I know these brothers haven't. But if I was to start to do that, the devil could get an advantage in me. Maybe it's something else. Maybe we could go and watch something we shouldn't watch. And the devil could get an advantage on us. But we're saved. So we're new creatures. And we want to feed the new man spiritual food. We don't want to feed him stuff that he's not going to survive on. But he needs spiritual food. John 10 verse 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. 31, we know Jesus Christ overcame Satan. He overcame him. In Matthew 4 verse 4 to 11, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how Jesus overcome the devil with the word. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dice thy foot against a stone. And Jesus saith unto them, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed them all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. Verse 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See the neck he's on him. You see, when the devil gets you into something, he'll not stop there. He wants to take you further. It's not right. He'll take you as far as he can. And if he tried it with the Lord, he's going to try it with you and me. Amen. Then saith Jesus unto him, get hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. And I'm going to come to close the night, because it is warm in here. It is hot. But I appreciate you listening tonight. His name's the only saving name. There's no other saving name. Now, I believe most of us are saved in this room. I'm telling you, even though you're saved, that's a name you can use this week. Many a time I have to use it. You know, we come up against different things every day, but we've got that name. And we can call upon the name of the Lord to help us. Let's stand our feet before Brother Gary comes this evening. Praise God. Let's bow our heads again tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your name is the only saving name. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you'll bless your people tonight in this room and those that would listen in. Lord, these are simple truths, but yet they're true. They're true facts from Scripture. We believe them tonight. Lord, I pray you'll speak to men and women's hearts. Keep us on the straight and the narrow way. In Jesus' precious name. Now bless each one in this house tonight. Strengthen and heal. And have your way in our lives in the days that lay ahead. As we acknowledge you in all our ways. Knowing you'll direct our paths. We do pray for all the children tonight in this service. And those in our hearts at home and afar out tonight. We claim them, Lord. And pray you'll save every one of them. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. Well, we'll just remain standing and sing a couple of verses before we close. Born again has really been a change in me.